And we are live. What's going on, internet? Let's wait a few minutes until we get some people joining our stream. Let's share it here on the World Wide Web.
Very dramatic, Wallace.
It's I learned a lot from being in Sam's live stream yesterday. Probably that I should pace myself. So what's going on, everybody? I am Wallace Santos, CEO and founder for Mean Gear Computers. Thanks for joining our stream. And I am accompanied by the
Ron,
one and only.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
This is a big deal.
I got very excited. I'm Ron Reed, marketing director for Mean Gear. Welcome to On the Bench. This is our weekly live stream where we talk about, me and Wallace kind of talk about what we care about in tech, PC gaming, gaming itself, and what kind of interests us. And just to kind of jump into it, since you mentioned it, it was actually on my list of things to share immediately. Mm-hmm. Wallace did like a super cool interview on Sam Scheffer's live stream podcast that he does. I think he does an audio version and the live stream on Twitch.
Yep.
If you want to check it out and kind of hear a really interesting background of how you founded the company and what your passions are and a lot of that kind of stuff, go to twitch.tv/Sam Scheffer. That's
two F's.
I think it was like over an hour. And Square Triangle on Periscope. We're streaming on Periscope today, apparently.
Oh, we're on Periscope.
Oh, I see a little Periscope icon in our little chat thing. So I'm assuming that means we're on Periscope.
Brent, can you confirm that?
We are on Periscope.
Whoa! What's up, tweeter? What's up, tweeter?
Tweeters.
What's up, tweeters?
Square Triangle said he was fascinated on his podcast. So I highly recommend checking it out. We're posting it in chat right now. It's really good. I love the story of how you founded the company. And I think this was like a really good example of that. And
thank you very much.
Just personally having, watching it live, it was really interesting.
Well, you've probably heard it like 30 million times, but.
But it's always interesting.
I appreciate it.
But definitely check that out. Sam is a good friend. We built a F-131 for him, right after in like January.
Yeah. Well, and if you guys don't know who Sam Scheffer is, definitely look him up. He was an editor from The Verge, Mashable, really knows his shit. This guy's.
I think he did Engadget.
And Gadget too. As well, I believe.
Yeah.
Check out his, he does vlogs and he's got a YouTube channel and he's also streaming on Twitch. So definitely check him out. And he's part of the 368 crew, right? So like if you guys are familiar with Casey Neistat, they formed essentially like a new entity, right? Or a new group.
Yeah, it's like an incubator for creatives.
Yep, incubator for creatives. And they have like a facility, which by the way is powered by all Mean Gear computers, which is awesome.
I love going in there just because it's so cool to see like a wall essentially covered in Mean Gear PCs.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh, if you follow me on Instagram, it's probably still on my live, on my stories. I posted a quick video on how the setup looks over there. It's just look for Wallace Santos on Instagram.
Yeah, Casey also vlogged, they did like a Battlefield 5 beta tournament that they participated in.
Yeah.
And Casey Neistat's vlog, we could put a link maybe in the video and chat, but it like showed off the space and kind of what they're doing with it. It's super cool stuff. I love, as like a creative person myself, I just really love the vision that they have over there and like getting a group of just like passionate people kind of to collaborate and do cool stuff together is really awesome.
It just feels good being there.
It's
right?
Really good energy.
Yeah, like, it's like
super,
it's a bunch
good
of
energy.
Creative people. Everybody's smart. Everybody's talking. Has like the subject is good. It's just really cool.
Absolutely. And what's up, DZ?
DZ, my dude.
Looks great. And guys, just so you know, I am watching chat. So if you guys have questions, I will do my best to answer them as quickly as I can. That's one of the things that
I love
like
this
to
part
do here.
Where I'm tickling you on the video. Thanks for showing that, Brent. It's fantastic. That's great. Tickling your beard. Oh man, fantastic. Well, let's kick it off, Ron. So first of all, thank you to NVIDIA for sponsoring
powering our live stream. Yeah.
If you have not heard about the new RTX GPUs, definitely check it out. It's the jam. Ray tracing is here to stay.
Well, and we have a new promotion on our website. It's our Halloween sale. If you just go to Meager.com and click on the first banner with the pumpkins. And if you're looking to get a system with RTX right now, we have a lot of good promotions. So.
And hi, Mom. My mom joined the stream. Hello. Love you,
hi,
Mom.
Hi, Wallace's mom. So straight into news. It's going to be kind of software heavy this week because Microsoft announced their October update. That brings things for gamers, not for gamers, kind of all around update that's got a lot of cool little features.
But the main thing is ray tracing, right?
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk about first.
Okay.
So with the October update, Microsoft is making available the updated version of DirectX that supports ray tracing. So in order to NVIDIA's own ray tracing technology utilizes the DirectX component that powers it.
Mm-hmm.
So this push basically made that stuff all available. I think there was also an NVIDIA game-ready driver update that, amongst other things, pushed in the ray tracing support.
So it's kind of the point that I was making with Sam yesterday.
Yeah.
So the hardware had to come first. And
chicken before the egg.
The chicken before the... Is it the chicken before the egg or the egg before the... I don't know.
It depends on
who. But
who
made the freaking egg, man? Who made the egg?
Cadbury.
So people are complaining about, hey, you know, there is no content for these new RTX GPUs, but the content will come as long as the hardware is there, right? So, like, in order to create the content, you need the hardware.
Exactly.
Which is, you can never make the internet happy, but it's happening. So yeah. Microsoft is updating their libraries, right?
Exactly.
Software developers are going to be patching the games very shortly.
Yep. And I agree with you. Like, what do you expect? Like, it to be timed 100% precisely? Like, these devs need time to work on this stuff. Game development is very different than hardware development.
Yeah.
Games kind of traditionally have all sorts of weird delays that crop up, right? You know, like, and do you want them to release a game before it's ready?
And think about it. What if you're like, okay, so what if the devs dropped a day of launch patch for the whatever Tomb Raider, yeah, right? And the ray tracing experience sucked.
Yeah, it would be the worst.
It would be horrible. Yeah, people would be like, terrible. Oh, ray tracing sucks. RTX sucks. You know, this is horrible.
Yeah,
but
I totally agree.
I think it's in NVIDIA's best interest and also in the developers or the content provider's best interest to deliver a good product.
Exactly.
And that's going to take some time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, I totally agree. By the way, we are now shipping RTX 2080 Ti's. I know there's a bit of like a production delay with the cards that had gotten announced, but we're shipping currently. Systems that got pre-ordered are actively shipping out. So if you're kind of holding back because you're like, oh, I don't want to order and have it take a while, it's no longer for pre-order. It's actually shipping right away on our website. So within our normal lead times. So, but there are other cool, other cool things that were part of this Windows update that I'm kind of excited about. So one is a new thing called Your Phone.
Your Phone.
Now, unfortunately, and we didn't talk about this, but you have switched teams. You no longer have your Pixel 2. You have what you would say is the perfect phone.
iPhone, baby. I'm on the iPhone. I'm back home. I feel good.
You've switched back.
I feel good.
Yeah, you've switched back.
It feels so good.
I know you like going back and forth and experiencing new technology.
Yeah.
You're very happy with your new iPhone, XS Max?
I actually have I didn't tell you this, but I have a Note 9.
Oh, do you really?
Coming.
Okay.
Probably next week.
Okay.
So I think it's my job as a technologist to understand.
To abandon Android. No,
well, to understand.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, both platforms,
of course,
and it's
absolutely.
And it's I'm gonna be switching between both, right?
Yeah.
So I'll have the Note 9 from Samsung, and I'll have my iPhone as my daily driver. There are a lot of things that they fixed. That's why I went back to iPhone. So the notifications really bothered me before with iOS 12.
Yeah,
it's all fixed now. And it, to me, it's a great product.
It seems like iOS 12 is like a good change. A lot of people were unhappy with the previous version.
Yeah.
And they resolved like a bunch of little pain in the butts kind of throughout the whole operating system.
Yeah. And I just miss iMessage too. So good.
So none of this applies to you because you have an iPhone. But your phone is going to allow you to do some cool stuff. You'll be able to, from Windows, text and receive text messages. I downloaded
the app on Android already. The app was available before the update in Windows.
That was a separate app. This is a direct Microsoft thing.
Oh.
There's been third-party apps. Google has had the ability to do it from a web browser. This is like integrated into the OS.
Oh, really cool.
They're also going to allow you, I believe, I could be incorrect, and I apologize if this is incorrect, but you'll be able to actually run apps on your computer through your phone. So it's going to, I think it's going to be basically like streaming the video from your phone of the app, but you'll be able to run apps from your phone on your PC. The microphone.
That is the beauty of Android though.
Yeah.
Right? It's the flexibility to do these crazy things that you can't do.
They give you hooks that you can tie into.
Now you're making me want to go back.
How useful any of that is, I don't know. Probably zero. Yeah. But it's cool, and I like to see that Microsoft is kind of trying to embrace, like, they don't have Windows Mobile anymore, so yeah. What are they going to do? They need to embrace mobile in through software, basically.
I wish Microsoft built a Surface phone based on Android with Microsoft Surface with Microsoft services.
I think that's cool.
That would be amazing.
That would be great, but I'm glad that they're opening this up for all phones all Android phones, because at least then, like, everyone has a Windows PC. Like we're all gamers right now, yeah. Right? We all game on Windows. So as long as you're on Android, you'll get this functionality.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but just think about that for a second. Imagine the Windows.
Oh, they've been doing really cool stuff with hardware, and I'd like to see the hardware they create. Because the Windows, those Windows phones are actually like from a hardware perspective, were interesting.
Even from a software perspective, yeah. They're great. It's just there's no apps. There's no concept. No, I mean, they're useless.
Unfortunately, no apps. Yeah.
Right. All right.
They announced there's a cloud clipboard. So basically, if you have multiple Windows 10 devices, your clipboard is shared between them on your user account. Mm. So if you have a notebook and then you have a desktop and you copy and paste something, you'll get access to that on your desktop, which is, I think, super cool. Mm. The thing that's most important to me is there's a dark theme for File Explorer. Brent is like screaming over there. I used to be like Windows XP days. I used to spend so much time customizing the theme of my computer.
That's right.
The taskbar, Windows Explorer. I liked.
There was an app that took care of all that. I'm trying to remember the name.
The original one was Window Blinds.
Windows. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Window Blinds. Yeah, that's the one.
As a gamer, I didn't like that because of the obsessive
resources.
So I would use modified XP themes that people would post on like art sites. It's like the worst thing in the world when you look back at it. But my obsession was always like, I'm a fan of on my phone right now, everything. If I can make it darker and like gray and black and stuff like that, I just prefer that. I don't like the really bright white shining in my face when I have an Explorer window open. So for me, this is like, finally, I'm so happy. Like I've missed it ever since since kind of the old XP days.
I feel like when there's white letters on a black screen, the contrast is kind of funky for me.
I don't like reading that way.
Yeah, it really bothers my eyes, so I'll stick with the white.
But I think it's like actually like a dark gray, which usually works.
Oh, okay.
Well. Yeah.
Okay. You're right. My Office 365 theme is dark gray.
Yeah, and so it's like a darker okay. thing.
Yeah, cool.
What's up, Jay Chen? I see that you're in chat as well. And then there's a new screenshot tool, switches to Edge. They also included better HDR support as well in the operating system, better ways to configure HDR via the OS, via the where you kind of set your screen setups up.
Did they fix the scaling 4K issues?
It's mostly improved since Windows 10, to be honest. But yeah.
It's mostly Adobe, it's applications, right? Yeah, so it's not really Microsoft.
They can't control that, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. They gotta fix that.
I know. That's the one thing that's kind of always bugged me. It's definitely better though.
Yeah,
it's improved.
I kind of wish, in a way, you know, I think it feels like Windows is starting to get a little bit bloated again. I wish that there was like a super clean.
I know. I know.
Which, by the way, our systems, we guarantee that they're bloatware free. Bloatware free. So when we tweak a Minger computer, we make sure that we only load what's necessary so the computer can perform at its peak.
Yeah, not extra language packs and like.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, you know, even drivers. Like when you install a driver, sometimes it'll install a bunch of extra applications. And we don't load any of that.
Yeah.
We just make the driver, just the installation of the driver, so the system can perform as fast as possible.
And then only like two more things I want to mention. They're adding power usage to Task Manager, kind of like on an Android device where you can see what app is utilizing your power.
I guess for laptops, that would be awesome. Handy. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for all of us, we're going to be like, it's a game.
Yeah.
But for normal kind of usage, if you have an app that's kind of misbehaving in the background.
No, that makes sense. If like there's something that's sucking your juice. Yeah. You want to know about it.
And then they are adding, and this is super cool, they're going to be doing predictive learning to, they've been doing this stuff where the idea is to not have Windows interrupt you in a game to restart for an update.
You know, it's about time Microsoft does something about that.
And they've they've done so far has worked. I hope this is the thing that does it.
Yeah, I've historically disabled my updates just because I didn't want to deal with that.
Disclaimer. Hmm? Wallace is an IT expert, and no, I'm serious. Like,
right.
You know how to manage that, and you go in manually and you update them.
And I update it manually, yeah.
I just want to say that for like the people who aren't super computer savvy.
Yeah, you don't want to disable your updates and never update.
We're used to doing this for, at this point, like 20 years.
Yeah.
So like it's ingrained in us to go and check and like double check these things.
That's correct.
I just wanted to, for anyone who's newer in the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even use an antivirus.
No, I don't either. But
right.
I don't recommend
anyone not use an antivirus.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, on our work PCs, obviously we,
of course,
they're all secured, but yeah. Like on my personal PC at home,
I don't either.
I don't click on
that's not true.
I don't click on, you know, check out this pic email I get randomly
either. After getting married, I have an antivirus on my PC.
Because your wife is probably doesn't know what she's doing and she's going to click on everything.
You have too many people using it. You end up not trusting it.
Yeah. Whenever you get an email that says, oh my God, look what you've done. Click here. don't click there.
Don't click there.
it's probably a virus or something. And the best way to find out who's really sending you an email, sometimes, for example, I'll get an email from Ron Reed saying, oh my God, look at what you've done. Click here. Mouse over that name and it'll expose the email and it won't really be Ron Reed.
It'll be like 6784@fastmail.com.
Then you'll know it's not coming from the person who you think it's coming from.
But hopefully this fixes the problem. The idea is that they did some learning stuff and it's supposed to predict your behavior and figure out when to update the best time for you.
Yeah.
Supposedly. I don't believe it, but we'll see.
I think they're taking feedback. And Microsoft is such a large corporation that they can't just fix problems in a day.
No,
right?
No.
And I think a lot of people complain about the updates.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times when I walked in my office and turn my PC on, and the thing decided to update itself.
Yeah.
And I have to wait 15 minutes for this thing to go and finish updating.
Imagine when it's one of the like big releases.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And like, it's like ridiculous. Like 30 minutes for some of those
on the Minger computers, 15.
Not the crazy what's it called? I'm talking about like the like once every 2 year updates.
Yeah, yeah.
I had that happen before. I was supposed to do a live stream for work.
Yeah, no, we ran across
like
that.
Literally, like okay, well,
that's one of the reasons why I disabled it. Yeah, yeah, but now it's Microsoft doing something about it. So thumbs up, Microsoft. Good job.
Yep. So that's the software that I wanted to talk about.
I read something about the October update losing user data. Did you read about that at all?
That sounds like something that would happen.
Yeah. So I did not do much reading about it. I saw a headline somewhere.
I'm going to quickly research this while you're talking.
Just usually whenever there's a large, big update, I tend to want to wait a little bit, right? So like if Windows asks you if you want to update, just wait a couple days, right? If there's any types of kinks or anything like that, it'll work itself out. But I read somewhere Windows 10 October update is losing user data.
I just typed that in, and there's like a ton of articles.
About So back off a little bit, wait a week.
Yep.
Then make
and definitely update. Have your data backed up.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. How many people do we talk about that? So there is a quick and easy way for you to back up your data. There's two services that I recommend. If you don't have a lot of data, just have like pictures and stuff like that, you can use Microsoft's OneDrive or Google Drive.
Yeah.
It's free for the most part. It'll probably cover most of your documents.
Will definitely cover documents. It's like, I think you get, it's a couple gigs for free.
Yeah, and it's free. Sync that up to your folders. Like, go to OneDrive.com or I think Google Drive, that, or just type Google Drive or something like that on Google. And it's, sign up for it. It'll back up your stuff automatically. You save a file in your My Documents folder or whatever, wherever you save your files. It'll automatically sync to the cloud. If your computer catches on fire, your data's there. Right.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Yeah. And this is for the average user, right? I'm not talking about the power users. You guys know what you're doing.
Yeah. And I, if you have a lot more data, I personally recommend Backblaze. It's only $6 a month. It backs up your entire PC. It's not good from a recovery standpoint. They literally, you have to download, they'll mail you a hard drive.
Yeah, then it's $6 a month for the backup, and it's like $1 million for the hard drive.
So they don't make you.
That's buy, how they get you.
They actually don't make you buy it. I think they like put like a temp hold on your credit card, and they mail it to you. That's, you send
cool.
it back.
That's cool.
I use it because I have like a, I don't know. Like,
you
a,
use Black Backblaze, really?
Yeah, because I have 2.5 terabytes of data between, and this is so all this is
you have legit raw files,
and then. I'm a photographer, so I have 80,000 raw images.
Yeah. And each image is like ridiculous size.
So it's like a terabyte of photos.
Yeah.
So to be economical, I used Backblaze because it's just inexpensive. I used to use CrashPlan, but they changed their plans to be more expensive.
And Backblaze is working good for
Backblaze is awesome.
So there you go. So you have OneDrive, you have Google Drive, and then if you want a more robust solution, then check out Backblaze.
Yeah. And also,
and we're not sponsored by,
and Dropbox Backblaze, is a good solution in the vein of OneDrive and Google Drive.
Yeah, Dropbox tends to be a paid, right?
I think it's 2 gigs free, and then they have paid stuff as well.
And one more thing too. If you ever want to send large files over email.
I just did this like literally 10 minutes ago.
Use WeTransfer. Go to WeTransfer.com.
I think it's a 2 gig limit, but that's.
You can send on single file, 2 gigs. That's like the best file transfer service you can use. It's free. The website is beautiful because it's their advertisements is based on wallpapers.
Yeah, it's like really gorgeous.
Like super cool business. Yeah. So there you go. That's there. Look how beautiful WeTransfer.com is. Yeah. I love that.
It works really well. We use it a lot internally.
Damn, this is like a tutorial on how to back up your data.
I know. I love this kind of stuff. Good deep dives into tech. Yeah. McLean on Twitch said he still uses a DVD.
McLean dog.
Tony on Facebook says an external hard drive. The one thing to mention is that the reason so I usually recommend a local backup to an external hard drive and a cloud backup, because the local hard drive is easier to recover from, but the cloud backup prevents like disaster scenarios where like your house gets struck by lightning and then like your every electronic in your house fries and then you lose all of your data. So I recommend doing both. If you're only going to do one, cloud backup is probably the better option.
Yeah, there you go.
Next on our list is the Microsoft Surface event. I wanted to talk about this not because of the headphones they announced. They're actually like Microsoft did something interesting. Did you check them out?
Yeah. I think Microsoft is becoming the new Apple.
It's very interesting to see
the designs, the design language, the innovation. You know, I understand a lot of OEMs were very upset when Microsoft first announced Surface because they thought, well, Microsoft is providing the software, why are they launching a competitive hardware? But all they're doing is pushing innovation forward,
which we love because that's what we want to do too.
And a company with a multi-billion dollar R&D budget probably is going to do some cool stuff. And you know, the Surface lineup is proof of that. And man, that Surface Studio, beautiful product. The laptops, not gaming, by the way.
Not gaming, but great.
If you want like a good business travel laptop, the Surface laptops they look amazing.
They're new.
We're actually using thin surfaces for our stream here.
They're new. They announced a new version of the big touchscreen Surface.
The Surface Hub.
And it as you rotate it, it keeps the thing centered.
You know we're getting that, right?
Are we really?
We're getting the Surface Hub.
Oh, I'm super excited.
Getting the Surface Hub, baby.
Can we use it on our live stream? Like we're weathermen or something? Just like, okay, we'll listen. That's super cool.
Yeah.
But so these headphones are Bluetooth. They have a cool thing where Each ear cup has a volume knob. One of them dials in the noise canceling and the other one's the volume. And then they have accelerometers in them. So when you take them off your head, it pauses your music. Just awesome.
So it's almost like the Apple
AirPods.
Yeah. Like there's all sorts of cool sensors on them.
Yeah.
And it has Cortana.
Yeah, it has Cortana.
Oh, that's useless.
Maybe it will work with Google Assistant. If you have an Android phone, maybe there'll be a hack to make it work with Google Assistant. Mm-hmm. That might be kind of cool. Cortana's not bad. It's just that it's like you got Google Assistant at the top, right? It's the best as far as language recognition. And then you have Siri, which is good because their integration across their devices is good. Mm-hmm. So it makes it useful. If you have AirPods, Apple HomePod, it's not as natural or as advanced as Google's stuff, but it's serviceable.
Yep.
And then you have Cortana, which is kind of disconnected from everything else. And so you're going to yell at your Google Home if you're...
Yeah, I actually haven't used Cortana, man.
I have. When I'm having a conversation next to my PC and I hear dunk, and I look over and
that's the only time up. And I disabled it because of that. Right? I felt like it was so intrusive.
I know.
But I hope they do something about it. I hope it's obviously going to get
I'm
better.
I'm sure they're still improving it. Yeah. It comes down to I use one ecosystem. You have Google Homes in your house as well.
My whole house is all Googled out.
I'm curious to see how you end up missing that on your phone.
I'm actually having a pretty smooth time using Siri.
Okay. Are you going to switch to Apple's HomePod? Whatever
no.
they are? Okay.
No. It's disconnected. So I never speak to my phone in my house anyway because I have speakers spread throughout the house.
That's such a weird thing to say out loud.
Well, did you speak into your
phone? I never speak to my phone in my house. Just in the context, it's amazing how much stuff has changed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, I'm laying down and I say, hey, Google, turn off the lights.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Hey, Google, turn off all the lights.
Hey, Google, what does a giraffe sound like?
You know what? There's a better one. Hey, Alexa. Buy bounties.
So that's what I want to talk about from Microsoft's event. We're talking about security and data. And there was actually a pretty bad security kind of flaw this week. Facebook, over 50 million accounts got hacked. So essentially what happened was Facebook uses like a session ID to maintain your login on a browser.
Yeah.
And that got hacked so that people who didn't have your login credentials could basically view Facebook as though they were you on that session. So they would have access to your settings, your friends lists. But where it gets a little scary is they have access to your personal and private messages.
Personal and private messages, and also Facebook does have a certain amount of control over your webcams and microphones.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people communicate via Facebook Messenger. So recommendation number one, enable two-factor authentication.
Yeah, even though it's a big pain in the butt and I kind of hate that I have it
on
now.
I actually don't mind it at all.
It's really annoying. Well, I'm lying. There was I had a bug where Facebook wouldn't text me. And
for everything.
For anything at all.
That stopped.
And I had to literally text a phone number and text the word on.
Yeah.
And it authorized. If you guys are having problems with two-factor Facebook, just Google search Facebook two-factor no text message. And there's a five-digit number that you text the word on to. And it enables you getting text. And it fixed the problem for me. So I guess I don't hate it anymore. I was just kind of annoyed. In general, two-factor authentication, you should pretty much always enable it if you can.
Yeah. I mean, I like to tie it to my phone number.
It's the best way.
Yeah. Some people use the actual authenticator app.
The reason I was frustrated is I wiped my Pixel because it had just been a year. I wanted to wipe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got rid of the authenticator app. And I'm like,
Dan, it's a pain in the neck.
I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, the text messages isn't working. I don't have the authenticator anymore.
Yeah.
I guess I don't have a Facebook account anymore.
Yeah. Is that why you have another Facebook account?
No, I got rid of that.
It keeps popping up.
Does it? I thought I disabled it.
A photo in there. Just okay. Ron Reed.
Maybe there's still one.
Mysterious Ron Reed. the solution to that is try to tie it to your phone number first.
Yeah.
And if you decide to use the authenticator app as well, then maybe your phone number can be the backup to the backup.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just
Facebook does do that. It does use both.
Yeah.
I was panicking because I didn't have the, my phone number part wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just start a new Facebook. I don't have no friends.
What already. About when I formatted my phone and I had all this cryptocurrency and my two-factor authenticator tied together and I couldn't that's figure out how to get scary, into an exchange and
scary stuff.
It became really, really scary that day, and but scary we stuff. Figured it all out. All right, next.
Okay. And so one other thing, if you, I would change your Facebook password just for the heck of it. I don't know if you said that.
That's the obvious solution. Yeah. Yeah, you know, good idea, Ron.
They did
change the password.
They did sign everyone out and make you log back in if you were part of the hack. I was included in that.
Oh, you were in there. Yeah. I was not.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
So I had a friend that got hacked the day before. And the hack that I saw was they were trying to get you to click a link and some bot was like auto posting, tagging every friend that they had. And I'm wondering if it's because I was a friend of that person that I got included in it. it was like one of my aunts or something. Can't lose those WoW tunes. some other like kind of basic tech news. Razer announced a new Wi-Fi router. It's a Wi-Fi router. Has some, you know, gaming-focused QoS stuff in it.
I hope it's good. I haven't tried it yet. I read Min's post. It's stating that they have some technology in there. Like if you have like a congested Wi-Fi network, or if you're in a place where there's a lot of Wi-Fi, like for example, if you live in an apartment and there's multiple Wi-Fi access points around you, that's where the congestion happens. There's just like a ton of different access points, right? According to Min's post on Twitter and Instagram, it solves that problem.
So
it has like a better pipe.
So what it is it uses radar bands. Mm-hmm. So it scans to see if any are in use and then can use signals that aren't used.
That's pretty cool.
There are other gaming routers that have this feature.
Oh shit, my Facebook just logged me out.
Did it really?
That's fantastic. As we're talking, my Facebook logged me out on its own.
Okay. That is, well, I guess it
I
hurt.
I guess I was part of the hack.
It found out that you weren't. It's like, no. Well, he definitely was.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's actually going to be part of the wireless H standard. That's the next standard for wireless.
Okay.
But it's like a good feature to have. It gives you basically when you have wireless signals that and they're the same frequency, they kind of like overlap. And it makes it harder for your router to kind of figure out which signal is yours.
Okay.
So by being in a band that doesn't have somebody on it, I think it's only on the 5 gigahertz frequencies, it will give you a better connection.
Okay.
Super geeky guys like me like run like I have like a Wi-Fi scanner on my phone and I like walk around my house and like see what bands there are. It's nice not to have to do that.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. So it looks and it looks good. The Razer router.
It does look good. It has like a mesh technology so you can pair them together.
That's cool too.
I wish they had made smaller, cheaper, extra ones that weren't the full router.
Yeah.
Instead of having to buy like, I think
like it's extra access points.
It's like 250 or 300. I don't want to buy two or three of those.
My Facebook keeps on logging itself out.
Okay. Well, apparently Zuckerberg is listening and is really mad at us right now.
This is nuts. Okay. that's weird.
So Razer announced that.
They partnered with someone too.
They did last time. I can't remember the name of the company.
Yeah.
Portal. And it was branded as Portal last time.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. That's a
cool name for a router, by the way.
It is a cool name. Right? A very gamer focused router.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Elon Musk or no?
Why not? I'm a big fan of him.
Okay. Okay.
He's still the CEO.
He's in trouble.
He's still the CEO, yo.
Okay, so for context, Elon Musk, CEO and previous chairman of the board of Tesla, mm-hmm. had tweeted out, I guess a month ago, something about his plans to take Tesla private. I think the problem was he listed a share price for what it would sell for if it got privatized.
He shouldn't have done any of that.
No, he should not.
Right? Like, never mind that. You're going to clearly manipulate the stock if you say, hey, we're going to go private soon, right? And then to assign a number to that.
Super bad.
That's even worse because now you're driving the stock up or down. You're controlling it.
It gives a target for the stock price.
And the obvious happened, right? The Securities and Exchange Commission went after him for that.
Yeah, so we hadn't heard anything about it. And apparently they had been talking to They had been talking to Tesla, and they had given them a proposal where basically Elon couldn't be the board president anymore. And he said, no, listen, if the board does this, I'm going to step down as CEO. Mm-hmm. The board said no. SEC sued him, I guess. I don't know if it's him or Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fallout from this is Elon has stepped down as the board president. He can't serve as the board president for 3 years. I think part of the settlement also said they need to hire a lawyer to, like,
manage his tweets,
manage his social media presence.
They should hire a lawyer to manage Donald Trump's tweets. If you're gonna do it to Elon Musk, might as well do it to Donald Trump.
It's like the funniest part of the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, it was irresponsible of him. I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk. I think he already changed the world, and I think he's gonna continue to change the world. But sometimes power gets to your head, and I think he needed to be grounded a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody needs an ass kicking sometimes, yeah, right? Like, yeah, you need to, you know, point him the right direction again and refocus. And I hope this doesn't happen again, because, you know, the truth is that there was no plan to take Tesla private.
It's not necessarily a given.
Well, he couldn't prove it.
It's kind of assumed.
He couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's why this is happening. So he couldn't prove that he had investors willing to take it private at $420 per share.
Yeah.
So if there is no plan, you cannot prove that there is a plan, then, dude, you know, don't do it. And I hope it doesn't happen again.
Me too. That's because all. Like, he's such an integral part of Tesla, SpaceX. He's not just the CEO. He's like a almost like a lead engineer.
He's a hardcore engineer. The guy's amazing. The guy's, you know, he's a gift to the world. That guy, I really think
he's brilliant.
He's brilliant.
He's changing the world.
So good for him.
So I'm glad he's not stepping down. Hopefully he doesn't get in any more trouble. We have to think differently when you're CEO. I mean, like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have sent a drunk text, for example. And like
what?
You know, like
I've never sent a drunk text.
Like
text.
Having an extra beer or two and then texting someone something stupid. So now just imagine you're now like the CEO of a company and or like Tesla that's publicly traded.
Are you implying he was drunk or high?
I'm not implying that specifically.
When he texted.
What I'm implying is there's
tweeted,
there's so many scenarios where you could just do something stupid in the heat of a moment, and
that's
the
right.
ramifications of it are, and it, you might not even like, it might not have seemed like to you what a big deal at the time. Like, you're just like off the top of your head, and it, but the ramifications are enormous.
No, that's, you know what, that's a good point. And you know what, everyone should follow this, right? Like even regular people like us. You know, sometimes you get an email and it's so frustrating and you want to reply instantly based on your emotion. You should not do it, right? You should step away, calm yourself down.
It's a good thing regardless of whether you're
whatever situation that you're in, if it's based on emotion, then it might be the wrong call. So try to always step away and reflect and then go back.
Now we're giving life advice. I like this.
Jesus Christ, this is awesome.
And guys, if you have any questions, just let us know. I see Wretched says, everyone's a human. We all make mistakes.
That's
all
right.
About learning.
That's right.
Guy's got money, but it doesn't stop the SEC from hitting him with a hefty fine.
Yeah,
and he got
no.
fined as well.
And you know what? They had to. I think the SEC actually were very lenient on him, because this could have been like a fraud case, like a huge deal.
Oh, I mean, like, I think the lawsuit said he had to no longer be CEO and he couldn't be a CEO of a public traded company, like, maybe ever again. Or like within a time window. That was the suit.
That would have been horrible. Yeah. So glad it worked out this way. Glad it only cost him 40 mil. I mean, what's that, right?
Pause said, just what I needed before it had to work, life advice.
Take a step back and breathe, Paul. And
just
then
breathe,
you
guys.
Go to work.
Just breathe. Okay, cool. So gaming news. Discord has announced first on Discord games. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about it on the live stream. Discord is going to be selling games.
Is that a Discord video you're playing, Brent?
Yeah.
That is awesome, because their videos are so cool.
They are super awesome.
Oh, yeah. So definitely go look at their videos on the...
Their social media stuff is hilarious.
It's super funny.
So Discord is going to be selling games like Steam, right? So they came in, they kind of like competed against Steam, or they worked with Steam in that they were like a chat application that plugged in with Steam. They got really popular, and now Discord's like, okay, we're going to sell games. So now they're going to be doing games that launch exclusively on Discord. The games are Last Year, The Nightmare, King of the Hat, Sinner, Sacrifice, Redemption, At Sundown, and Bad North.
And
are
these
all going to have timed exclusives.
These are timed exclusives, yeah. Right? So it'll probably be on there for 3 months or 6 months or whatever, yep. And then it'll probably go on every other platform later.
Yep.
Every other platform, meaning Steam. Every other relevant platform.
Well, maybe GOG.
And GOG will give it away.
GOG will give it away for free. Yeah. It's cool, though. I'm glad that they're, like, signing deals. It's cool to see a competitor in the space. Valve seems a little stagnant, to be honest to me.
Man, I love Valve, but you're right. You're right. There's
no games.
There hasn't been any innovation in a long time. I think the only innovation that came out of Valve recently that was sort of okay was the VR stuff, right?
And
where they licensed it to Vive.
Kind of came from Valve.
No, the technology is Valve's.
Yeah, but they kind of, like, gave it to someone and were like, go do it. Like
it's
not direct. I miss Valve games, but that's a whole different.
We can have a whole conversation about
that's
that.
That's a whole
depressing. When's the new Half-Life coming out?
Never.
Wasn't there like a first game announced in a long time recently?
Yeah, a Dota card game.
Yeah, there you go.
It was the most disappointing announcement. One of the most disappointing announcements. Like, new game from Valve. Oh, that's great. It's Dota. It's a card game.
That's stupid.
Damn it.
Yeah.
It's cool to see Discord doing this. Anything that drives innovation in the space, I think is good. If there's only two people that can take on Valve, number one is probably Amazon owning Twitch.
That's right.
And figuring out ways. I've heard rumors. They're really trying to push like their own development and stuff.
Game studio,
but like real AAA stuff, like not like the kind of stuff that they've been releasing.
I think Bezos realized very quickly that gaming was the future, and that's why the acquisition of Twitch came along.
Yep.
I think it was like $1 billion, something like
it
that.
It was a lot, it was
like some stupid amount of money.
I can look the price up,
they're doubling down, man. I'm surprised Microsoft hasn't doubled down yet on the PC side. I know they have the Xbox division. The what?
Coming in 2019, Whole Foods game store.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, it was $970 million in cash that they bought Twitch for.
In cash.
Microsoft is doing it, but they're doing it in the corporate way. Like, they have the game store, but it's not.
Remember games for Windows?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was like,
Microsoft could have owned this, man. But we probably don't want them to own it. So.
There's too much Microsoft that's like, they have a lot that, like, they can't just make, like you said, with Windows Update, they can't just change things. So, like, I understand it's not as simple as them, like, oh, let's make it as good as Steam. Like, there's complexities to it. They basically piggybacked on their Windows Store technology, but that had all these limitations on, like, the application and, like, things like that. So, Mega Man 11 came out. I don't know what you're talking about, but I did hear someone say they're making a live action Mega Man movie or something.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. That sounds like. It sounds.
Why is it bad? It's pretty cool. It's Mega Man.
Well, I don't know.
I like
Mega Man. I don't care about Mega Man as like a world building kind of thing. I just want to have a robotic dog and shoot at things. I don't know that. There's going to be a Dance Dance Revolution movie, apparently.
That will
Branch
be corny.
Said.
That will be corny.
They're going to dance to save the world.
They're going to dance to save the world, Branch said.
Dance to save the world.
I mean, if you look at like historical corny comedies that revolve around dance competitions, maybe it actually does make sense to make a Dance Dance Revolution movie.
Well, let's not judge.
Let's not judge.
Yeah.
we'll wait until it comes out to.
Somebody's asking here, Tony. Any news about Fortnite on Android release?
I don't think so.
Still a mystery. I think they have an exclusive with Samsung, I believe.
Oh, I think you're right. They're doing some sort of weird.
There's
that's bonkers, by the way. That a phone manufacturer's big exclusive thing for a launch was a game. That is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just if you want to play Fortnite on Android, just get a Samsung phone. It's probably worth it.
It's a good phone.
It's a good phone.
I think there's a beta that you can sign up for.
For Fortnite on Android?
Yeah.
Oh, but wasn't it bypassing the Android store?
Yeah, that's how they're going to do it. Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I think you should never install anything bypassing the Android store. And I agree with you for the most part. I'll tell you, because I installed a bit of software one time, and I had to reformat my phone because my phone got all wonky. That's the issue with Android. I mean, you can install whatever you want, and sometimes you install the wrong things, and it'll just screw up your OS.
So Epic has not yet announced an exact release date, though the beta is now live and official. Okay, so you can play the beta of the Android version. There's like they have a URL that you can go to. Just make sure it's on Epic Games' website.
Wallace sounds like an iPhone user right now. Yes, I am an iPhone user. You mad dog?
Other news. This is just important to me, so I included it. I always include something selfish related to The Witcher. So The Witcher 3, The Witcher game series is based on a collection of books. It's a Polish fantasy writer. I'm not going to try to say his name because I will butcher it and everyone will be upset. So when they wanted to create this game, they went to this developer and they're like, hey, or this book writer, and was like, want to build some games on it? We want to give you like a percentage of game sales. And the guy was like, he literally was like, I don't effing care about video games. Just give me money. I want $9,000. So CD Projekt gave him the $9,000. He's now suing them for $16 million.
That's just a bad deal that he did.
It sounds like he just has regret.
Unless there's CD Projekt purposely screwed him somehow.
I don't think so.
But it's a business deal that happened. Yeah. The Witcher was not a big thing back then. They made it into a big thing. So any reasonable judge would probably say, unless there's something bad here that happened that we don't know about, it's pretty obvious. I mean, you close the deal, you close the deal.
Oh, wait. This is super weird.
What's that?
In 2017, in a quote with Eurogamer, he said the following. This is the most ridiculous. So he's suing them right now.
So there's probably something behind the scenes here that we don't know about.
Well, this is what he said in 2017.
Right.
I was stupid enough to sell them the rights to the whole bunch. They offered me a percentage of their profits. I said, no, there will be no profit at all. Give me all my money right now, the whole amount.
Oh, my God.
It was stupid. I was stupid enough to leave everything in their hands because I didn't believe in their success. But who could foresee their success? I couldn't.
So he made a bad deal.
Yeah, literally, how is he suing them if he says that, hey, I screwed up?
He made a bad deal. That's the reality of it. That's his own fault. He could have, for $9,000? $9,000?
That is super. I could have been wrong. I read it was $9,000.
No, it had to be more than that.
I thought I read that it was like really low. Does anybody in chat, I apologize, I've read like four articles on it.
Dude made a bad deal. Yeah, he did.
Let's see.
You should have taken a couple hours to think about it. There you go. McLean is listening. See, you need to step away from the situation, not act emotional, and then make the right decision.
It was probably more than $9,000. I don't remember the article I saw that in. But regardless, he's like, you can't have regret. And
you know, it's funny. I watched a Tony Hawk podcast the other day.
I love Tony Hawk.
And he's like 100 years old now, but he was talking about Tony Hawk looks like now. You gotta see how Tony Hawk looks like. He was talking about how when they came up with the game, he had basically a licensing deal in place, and the game became more successful than they predicted.
Yeah.
And he was just saying like, dude, I would get this like $1 million check like every other month, like not expecting it because the game was so successful. And then these guys would just show up and just like sneak me this $1 million check, and I'm like, okay, thanks. Not expecting it. How cool is that?
No, that's like bonkers. Those games, we've talked about this before, but like that might be one of the games I played the most ever. I love Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
My favorite was probably 4, just because Alcatraz was my favorite.
It was fun, man. Tony Hawk was fun.
Favorite level.
I never got deep into it, but did you get the little hand skater, the little skates that you play with your fingers?
I never did that.
You never did that?
I never did. The
tech decks? Yeah,
I never did a tech deck.
So you can actually like just do tricks with your fingers?
People could actually like kickflip with them?
Yeah. Yeah. And people did a good job with it. It was like you can just, you know, skateboard with your fingers.
Tony Hawk is like 50 now. That's like 196 in skateboard years. Just imagine Tony Hawk with too many wrinkles and gray hair.
Yeah, he exactly. That's exactly
everybody is hyped about tech decks and fingerboards.
Yeah, and that was the jam. Only you did not use it back in the day, but everybody in the world did.
I did not.
I really, and you were into skating.
I actually owned an Element skateboard deck and like skateboarded a little bit and stuff like that. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that's cool. I had a tech deck. Actually, I used to rollerblade, rock, Vans sneakers, and Jinko jeans.
Yeah, I had like 9 wallet chains too.
That's crazy.
When I would sit down in class, it just sounded like somebody, like there was an industrial accident because of all the chains hitting the metal.
You're making me think about my back in the days.
Sean said even he did tech decks. Apparently, I'm the outcast of this group.
You are the outcast, my friend. Come on. Everybody's got tech deck. All right, well, got more news?
So I have one more story that I just thought was a little cool. And it was about the Air Force actually using virtual reality to train tech decks on the screen.
There you go. Got the tech.
There's still. Should I order one?
You should probably get one for your daughter.
I should.
She would.
Should I order?
She would find it really cool.
Amazon.com.
That's ridiculous. Tech Look at that. Deck. Why would you? That's just stupid.
Tech.
Now that I look at it, I think it's stupid.
Oh no! Do I need to get like a ramp for it? So $16.99 build a skateboard. Oh wait, here's one for $12.99. It's a bonus pack that has different styles.
There you go.
Oh, I can buy a 8-piece skate park kit and ramp for $23.99.
Their YouTube is like a bunch of like tutorial videos.
Apparently, Brent is saying their YouTube is basically a
we gotta bunch get of Brent a mic.
So several people. Okay, so Jake said he's going to buy them. Do you want to start like a little skate gang here? At lunch, we all just like.
No skate gang.
Maybe we'll bring Pogs back too.
No Pogs. No. Stop. Let's just change subjects. All right. Let's talk about gaming culture.
What was your favorite slammer?
Let's talk about gaming culture, my friends. So,
okay. So
seems like Seattle launched an anti-swatting service.
I forgot that story.
So, for those of you who do not know what swatting is, essentially, it's a bad idea. It's unfortunately, this is what highlights the immaturity of.
Yeah, it's like the dark side of the internet.
Yeah. So basically, there's a gamer live streaming, probably in his mom's basement or in his bedroom. He's on Twitch or Twitter or whatever it is, and people watching will call the feds. And basically say, hey, there's a bomb or something.
Or there's a house full of guns. Yeah. Or like someone's kidnapping someone.
And if
like
you there's a bunch of videos of it on YouTube. Just type in swatting.
It's terrible. Yeah.
And
also you'll like ruin your life if you do that to someone. I think it's like a federal offense.
It has to be. Yeah. Has to be. And it seems like the government's getting a little bit more serious about it because it's happening too often. So you're basically taking the authority from doing their job, and you're making them do something stupid, and
didn't
possibly
someone get shot.
Yeah, possibly even like somebody getting hurt.
I thought someone got shot because of a swatting incident.
Yeah, so basically, like you're playing games, right? You're Twitch streaming, you're playing games, and all of a sudden, like the feds knock on your door, knock your door down, and they run in your house with guns blazing. And
It was
that can go wrong.
It was last year in December.
Yeah,
in
horrible.
Wichita, a 28-year-old got killed because of a swatting.
Oh,
incident.
He got killed. That's horrible, dude. Yeah. So it seems like the people in Seattle here are taking it a little bit more seriously. Yeah. And if you're a streamer, you need to register so they can know that you're a streamer.
You're basically putting yourself on a list so that I don't know. What would be the SWAT team?
SWAT team.
I was going to say SWAT office.
The swatters. The swatters.
So the SWAT guys, no, but they'll be able to, when they get sent to your place, they'll be notified essentially that this is a streamer that's on a registered list. It doesn't mean they won't go. It doesn't mean they'll look into it.
Yeah.
It just means they come into the situation with the expectation that there's like a potential that this isn't a real situation.
Right.
So it kind of mentally, they're not coming into it like fearing for their lives. Cause that's what happens, right? A police officer going into a dangerous situation, he's fearing for his life.
And
he's guarding.
Imagine you're a police officer.
Of course.
And you have to go in a house where you've never been to before. There might be a real threat.
Exactly.
So you're going to bust in there with adrenaline.
Where
you're
mental. Exactly.
You might make a wrong call. So, good for the folks in Seattle for
and then,
making a good call.
Someone asked, where can you register? I clicked the wrong link.
Just Google it, man.
We'll post it in
chat. Yeah, we'll post it on the chat. You just if you're in Seattle area, definitely register. Yeah. And that way you're safe. Yeah.
And then the last story was just about some VR stuff. A company called Haptics announced haptic feedback gloves. Basically, it gives you like the sensation of touching things while in VR. It's very early, but
we need like a.
It's cool.
In addition to that, we need like a rain machine and a wind machine.
Funny story. The first night that we were, I have a Vive at home, mm-hmm. and I brought my sister over. My sister came over, her at the time fiance, now husband, and like a buddy. And I was showing them demos of VR. And my sister and I have this like thing about like watching documentaries on Mount Everest together. Just like a weird obsession of being interested in like climbing culture and like stuff like that. So they have the Mount Everest experience where you get to kind of like put on the headset and see what it looks like on the mountain.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I let her do it, right? And I as she's like at the top of the mountain.
Did you throw ice at her?
No. I may have blown vape into the direction of her.
Oh, dude.
And she literally was like, "Oh my god, this is so realistic. I can see the smoke from my breath." It was so funny.
She said
that. But she actually like got emotional from that experience, which is why I brought up the story. Like she ended up like tearing up because like it was so like it was something she's always wanted to do and something she's always kind of in her head thought about what it would be like to stand at the top of Mount Everest, that it became like an emotional thing for her to kind of go
That's
through.
Cool.
So anything that adds, like you were saying, wind or like, but literally anything that adds to the immersion, I think is kind of enables that magic that VR has to kind of connect you on a different level than like standard kind of gaming.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool to see people innovating. It also there was an article that was basically about the Navy is using VR to train pilots, and it takes half the time.
There's by using so VR. Many use cases, man. I mean, everything from like, you know, helping people conquer their fears, like fear of heights, for example. Yeah, that's a perfect example, yeah. Right? If you're scared of heights, slap on a VR headset and walk over a bridge. And if you do it,
what do they call it, immersion therapy, I think.
Yeah, if you do it enough times in VR, you'll probably be able to do it in real life.
Yeah, no, so it's the same feeling. Things like that especially feel very on point.
Oh, yeah, super.
Your brain like tricks itself and you feel like the wobbliness and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you just reminded me. There's a video of people walking over a glass bridge in China.
It's one of the best things ever.
It's one of the best freaking videos ever. Brent, if you can find that video, it'd be amazing. It's fantastic. It's just So those people should probably buy VR headsets.
Yeah, Andrew practice. Says they have hurricane tunnels at malls that simulate force winds. Imagine that tied with VR.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Actually, didn't Razer just announced a headset too that has haptic feedback? That it vibrates
like an audio headset.
I'm going to say this out loud, and it's going to sound ridiculous, but it vibrates your head with lower frequencies. It sounds like, yeah, no, it's dumb.
I haven't tried it yet, but that's probably the best way to. Oh my god, let's watch this video for a second.
Oh shit! Look at the dragon. This is great. Oh no, look. She's gonna fall out of the. That's not. What is this now? Is this just a
swinging over the edge of a cliff?
Oh, there's a clip going around Reddit of like this guy in I think maybe Japan, and they do this thing where like you're like tethered, and you're on like a bridge where there's like big gaps, and you kind of run across it. And he gets to the end, and the tether falls off. He was never connected the whole way across.
Oh, no, yeah, no. That's not a good idea. Yeah. Do it in VR, guys. It's safer. It's safer. I guarantee you that. But
that would be a great ad campaign. Just do it in VR.
Just do it in VR.
It's safer.
It's safer.
So apparently Forza did something... oh, this is kind of cool. So Forza,
that is cool. Look at that.
Forza did like a thing.
Tyrese, Fast and Furious.
That's kind of interesting.
So they just like throw snow in your face?
Because they have the four seasons in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a good way to market the. That's a great way to market the.
I have a question. I have a question though. Mm-hmm. Do you typically drive a car with a windshield?
Turn mud in Tyrese's face.
You're into automotive sports.
I mean, I can.
Do
I
most
can,
performance cars see, have windshields?
I can see if it was like a motorcycle game, right? But you're right, Ron. Why would they? That's so bad.
It's like when you're playing a first-person shooter and there's like raindrops on the screen, and you're like, my eyes would not be covered in rain. Like, this is in first person. What, am I wearing goggles the entire time?
That's pretty bad. You're absolutely right.
That's too funny.
That is pretty funny. That's a bad way to market.
That's a bad way to market the game. So that's it for us this week. Make sure to follow us on every social media platform, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're all at Main Gear everywhere. We do this live stream every single Thursday at 5 p.m., and we try to do a game live stream once a week. That one is the harder one. We don't always have it in our schedule, but
I'm still going to kick your butt in Rocket League.
I don't doubt it.
No?
I don't doubt it.
I haven't played it, man. So, like, either. You know, we're gonna have to play that out.
We could kick other people's butts in Rocket League.
No, we should play against each other. Okay. And we should probably bet something.
Okay.
Something good.
Okay. I'm down. Thank you again to NVIDIA for powering this live stream. If you're looking for a computer with the new RTX series 2080 and 2080 Ti, which are both shipping, go to maingear.com, click on the Halloween sale, and we have a bunch of cool promotions. And I think that's it for this week. I don't have anything else to kind of go on about. So
that's it, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Yeah. Great hanging with you. Catch you in the next one.
Later.
Peace.